Welcome to episode 32 of the JockX podcast. Today I am joined with special guest Caroline Wagner. Now, Caroline is one of the top Australian dressage riders in equestrian sport and has been for a number of years now. And prior to that, competed in another equestrian discipline in the show ring, where she had major success, winning four Gary Owens, a couple of Pope Cups, and numerous champions, both as a rider and for horses she was with. And I was super stoked to catch up with her for the show because she's an elite competitor. And we really delve into how she got to the level, what she does today on a daily basis, the strategies, her mindset, how she really undertakes her competition and gets the absolute best out of herself and continually aiming to improve and take her own game to the next level. And at the moment, she is one of the top few in Australia, and it was super exciting to have her on the show. So I'm really happy to share this with you guys out there, and there's so much we can take away, whether you're in an elite sport yourself, or whether you're just running a business or just starting up one, or whether you're in university and still studying. There's so many definitely key tips, key strategies that you and myself can adopt and really apply to ourselves to help us achieve more in what we're doing. And Caroline really shares it all on this chat we had with her. It was super, and I really excited for this one. So guys, if you have friends out there who know Caroline, or if you would just really want to get insight into what it takes to compete in equestrian, we all know the amount of hours, as you'll hear in this interview, that they spend to get to the level that she's at, and amount of years it's taken, absolute, multiple decades to get to this sort of stuff. It doesn't happen overnight, and there's so many different principles that we can all apply to ourselves to take it to more success for ourselves. So really, guys, enjoy this one. I really want to shout out to the guys who are really sharing this on Twitter, on Facebook, on your Instagram, letting people know about this particular episode with Caroline, and obviously all the other awesome, amazing guests that we've had on the show. I think episode 32, so had a number, and I want to thank you guys for that. Really appreciate you. Love that you're here listening and wanting to take your game, whether it be your horse riding, whether it be your sport, and again, whether it be a business, to more success and achieve more and learn more. So that's what it's all about, day in, day out, getting better. And this starts with this show each week that we do and get these incredible guests. So love that you're here. Really enjoy this one. Episode 32 of the JockX podcast with myself, James O'Connor, and Caroline Wagner. So welcome, Caroline. Welcome to the show.
It's lovely to be on the show with you, James.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to have you here. Obviously, got a lot of listeners out there who are involved in equestrian, and obviously with my work through there, and excited to have you and your expertise going through a few things. I'd love to sort of start with your background through your equestrian career and to what you're doing now.
It's been an exciting career. I've been very lucky. I've worked very hard. The harder I've worked, the luckier I've become, I suppose. I started and did pony club and rode horses on the weekend and that sort of thing, and then was lucky enough to get my own pony, and then I enjoyed pony club and went on and then decided I would enjoy doing a bit of showing. So I continued on there. I was lucky to have parents who supported me well in those early years. And my showing career just kept on going, really. We did very well through my junior years, and then I met Peter, my husband, Wagner, and we went on, and he supported me too. He had show jumpers at the time, and then we just kept going with the show horses, and I was lucky enough to go on and do very well through the Royal Shows and win four Gary Owens and four Esquire trophies at Melbourne Royal and Pope Cups at Sydney and Melbourne Royal, Champion Lady Riders, Show Horse of the Years, Royal Show Champions at Brisbane, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra. So we had a very successful time with a lot of different horses. So it was, I learned a lot. Every horse taught me something. And met a lot of great people at those shows too. Made a lot of friends for life that we still know, your family included.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic.
So it was a great time. And when I'd sort of, I over the years always had dressage lessons and wanted to sort of do more, have more challenge and more input through the, you know, through the training side of things. I enjoy that everyday training. So going on to dressage after the showing has been another journey and something I've really enjoyed.
Yeah, for sure. So you took up dressage, I was sort of doing a little bit of research. You took up dressage in about 2005, is that correct?
Yes, yeah. I retired from the showing in 2005, from the last Gary, the fourth Gary on in 2004, and said that was it. And then won Horse of the Year and Rider of the Year in 2005, and that was my last showing year. So, and I started dressage at that, in that same year, in sort of halfway through that year in June. I got a very nice horse, and he was medium level, and we went on from there.
Yeah, fantastic. What was the main sort of catalyst behind you wanting to make the transition in equestrian sports?
From showing to dressage?
Yeah, for sure.
Look, we really had such a great time through the showing, and I'd really achieved pretty much all there was to achieve. Like, we'd been champion at every Royal Show, and we'd won Horse of the Years and Rider of the Years and all the Gary Owens that we had achieved. It was just time to have a fresh challenge, and I'd always loved the like I said, that training side of the dressage, and there's just so much more, a next level to go to, I suppose, with the dressage, because you've got international competition to go to, it is an Olympic discipline, so the challenge is endless, but it's just also that daily training I really enjoy. And it's a bit of a challenge with yourself, almost like golf, I suppose, going out to dressage. I treat even though I'm competitive, every test to me is a bit like a test against myself, as to have we worked on this through the week and through the last month, and have we improved this? And that's what going out to on a competition day does for me, is it's a checklist for how my training is going at home. And that's quite different to how the showing side of things work. But with the dressage, it is, you know, you get direct feedback from the judges, and you can sort of, yeah, like I said, give yourself a bit of a checklist on how you're going with your own training.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. In fact, that you really enjoy the process, because obviously that's a real key, and you sort of hear that. I was just actually watching the other day one of the NFL quarterbacks, actually in American football, and he talks a lot about the same thing. Every practice, he is, you know, basically trying to hold his spot, even though he's the best in the world. And I think that's awesome that you're doing the same sort of thing. I'd love to know about on competition day, Caroline. What are sort of like the three key things that you sort of have to, your routines you have to stay to on competition day to get the best out of yourself?
Well, look, I think the most important thing with competing is to make sure you're really organised. The day before, we tend to go down to the show, and we use the time, the arena familiarisation time, to make sure our horses really comfortable in that new surrounding, because even though there's been, you know, lots of comps on horses that are that we like, that have got that little bit of extra fire and spunk about them, tend to also be a bit looky. And so suddenly there's a table with people sitting there, that the judge's table, and there might be a few more flower pots around and little things that they shouldn't really be scared of, but they can be a little tense about it. And I think we're also a little tenser when we're going to a competition, so I like to go down the day before and get both of us feeling relaxed in that atmosphere that you're going into. And then plan the next day, you know, make sure you're really well sorted, that you've looked at your times, you know what time you're competing. We work backwards then and work out what time, how long I want to warm that particular horse up for, whether it be half an hour or 20 minutes, and then I'll come back from that time, work up my saddling up time, allow myself my 10 or 15 minutes for that. Work back, okay, I've got to get dressed, I've got to be sorted, how long do I allow for that, so I'm not rushing, whether it be 20 minutes, I might want to read the test again, get myself in my own headspace, and I always work back And then I plan that next day from the night before and go, right, now I know what time I've got to get up. I might want to get on the horses and give them a walk or a trot and look at the arena again, give them a stretch, make sure they're all good. I might have played the night before if I'm on early. I just make sure I'm really well organised. I know my gear's all sorted. I do that the day before. Make sure you've packed everything. Just so there's no panic. Everything then just runs like clockwork. And then you've got, you know, you can get in your head that how you want to aim to make that test work. And even though you try every time to improve everything, you really, I set myself goals and make them achievable goals. You know, today with a test that might have pirouettes in it, I'll work on, yes, I really want to work on those pirouettes. I want to make sure I've got enough bend, I've got the horse sitting well, and I'll really aim to relax the horse in the warm-up and make sure that something like that specifically is going to really work towards a better mark. And even though you're constantly working on the whole test, I try to pick one or two movements that, okay, today we're really going to work on improving those. And you might work on those for that month leading in, but, and then you'll achieve that level with that particular movement, and then you can move on and really work on something else. And even though you're still ticking away at the whole test, give yourself goals that are achievable.
Yeah, for sure. Just on goals,
so you've got obviously achievable goals and setting them on a sort of regular basis. What other sort of key things do you recommend all the listeners out there for this podcast think about in setting their own goals, from whether it be in equestrian or other sport or business even?
Yeah, I think always be around positive people. As far as your coach goes, try and find a coach that really encourages you along the way. I mean, you don't want someone who's giving you praise for not doing the right thing, but you do want praise where praise is due, and people who are just generally enthusiastic about the sport that you're in. And it's good to, you've got to also, I think, apart from your own sport, look at yourself as a bit of an athlete. We tend to not treat ourselves as athletes enough when we're riders.
Yeah.
And you really should look at other sports. Like, I'd like to do Pilates because being a rider, your core is such an important part of your riding. And I've done a lot of cross training with other sports over the years, and I've done swimming through winter or gym and circuit training and running and all that sort of thing, but I've really found Pilates is probably the most beneficial.
Yeah.
So it's good to, you know, do other exercises. And I think doing gym and doing Pilates also makes you really aware of your own body and muscles and balance.
Yeah.
And whether you're crooked or you're straight, and you should go and have, you know, sometimes it's good, you might find you're a bit crooked, you go to a chiropractor yourself. If your horse isn't nice and straight on the line, it's probably because you're not sitting balanced and straight either. So, you know, it's good to look at other aspects that are directly related to what you do, even though, you know, you've got to think outside the square a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess it shows in obviously the level that you've reached. But you're right, you look at other sports, whether it be AFL, whether it be swimming, whether it be basketball, whatever it is, they do definitely cross train and are definitely spending time in different areas to, you know, get that competitive edge. Because as you said, at the level that you're at, it's only, you know, split by, you know, points here, points there that make the difference between, I guess, winning and not winning.
Yes, and it's all about your balance. You know, your horse can only go as well as you ride him, and you can only ride as well as your fitness will allow you to ride too. The more balanced and aware of your own body on the horse, the better balance he can be in too. So, you know, that when you're getting down to the really fine and nitty-gritty, the better you sit and the better you ride, the better your horse will go.
I'll just want to come back to fitness in a second and about talking about your average day and what encompasses in that. What are just three things that you would recommend, not only horse riders, but sports people in general, on competition day to avoid? What are some of the things that you should try and stay clear of that are detriment to a good performance?
Well, definitely, you know, don't be disorganized. Make sure you've got yourself organized. Avoid people if you're at a competition and you're getting ready. Anyone who looks like they're stressed and they're panicking about something, or they're just a negative person in general, and you know that they're really a bit, you know, they're not a positive person to speak to, so just make sure you're not in their zone.
Yeah.
Keep away from them. Keep your, you know, some people find that they're good, that they enjoy watching and they get something out of watching other people compete. I find, you know, if you're lucky enough, we've got a truck and I can go and sit and watch. I'll watch a DVD sometimes, especially on a big comp. I'll get a favourite DVD that of Horse and Rider and watch someone like Adelinda Cornelison on Plausible or Edward Gull or Charlotte Desjardins, and someone who inspires me to do more and to just look at how they're riding and really try and take in and absorb those finer details of how they're sitting and put that into your own mindset. So look at the positives and always stay away from the negatives is how I like to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're definitely some good tips. And it's actually interesting. I think I love that how you watched you know, people pre-going in there as well and really sort of setting your, I guess, your mindset to what they're achieving, hopefully replicating that in the ring yourself. From that, I'd love to talk about your average day. We just chatted before about, you know, being crazy busy, I guess, at this time of year. What's an average day look like for you? And I know you've obviously got your business as well, Wagner Salary. What's an average day look like for you?
Well, depending on the time of the year and how, you know, basically I try and get up by sort of 6:15, especially if it's nice weather and daylight savings like this, because you need to make the most of the day, and we'll get up and I'll go outside, Pete comes out and helps me too, and we'll do the horses. We've got 3 horses stabled, so we'll put them out in the morning and do the stables, do the boxes and feed. I've got a couple of young ones that are outside. Feed those horses, leave the horses that are, I've got a couple that might come back into the stable for the day because they're not that confident out in the paddock while I'm not home. So they'll go out for a few hours in the morning while I'm home, and then we'll go into work about sort of 8:30, 9 o'clock and be in at the shop from that time until sort of 2:33, depending on the day. And then come home and pop the horses that have been in the boxes out again, and then I'll ride. I might ride the young ones that have been out for the day so the others get to have a good walk around and loosen up before I ride them. And I'll, depending on the day, I'll ride 2 minimum, 3 if I can, depending on if I've got someone around that might give me a hand to saddle and unsaddle and pick up and wash off and rug up again.
Yeah.
And then feed them and come back in about 7:30 at night.
it's a full-on day.
See, Pete and I and the little dog get in and looked after in between and slept in front of the TV for an hour or so.
Yeah.
Go out and check the horses before we go to bed and then do the whole thing again the next day.
Yeah, it's an amazing routine. And obviously, like you said, my family's in it, so I know a lot about how, you know, many hours equestrian riders put in to, you know, achieve absolute high level. What sort of things are you doing to sort of look after yourself? Obviously, exercising. Are you pretty careful with what you eat and obviously, you know, keeping up water and all sorts of things as well? Or is that just it happens sort of how it goes?
No, I've definitely been made more aware of that. I've been lucky. I've been on the elite squad for the past couple of years and we've been lucky enough to be at the beginning of the Nationals. We'll have workshops and have sports likes and also people who help you with the sports maintenance side of things. So they really encourage you to use, always make sure I've got a jar of Staminé with us when I'm at the shows, and I'll make myself a good drink of that, you know, water and Staminé, or your Powerades and those sorts of drinks as well. So I always make sure I've got those on board as well as water. They can get to make sure you really rehydrate. Especially if I've got to ride more than one, after I've ridden one, I'll make sure I have a drink of one of those sorts of electrolyte replacement drinks.
Yep.
And make sure you cool yourself off, wash your face, cool yourself down before you go and ride the second horse, so that you're giving each horse a full, you know, benefit of you doing the best you possibly can. You've got to keep yourself well hydrated as well as the horses, so especially in summer. So it is important to do all of that side of things as well. And I try and eat, we try and eat fairly healthily. We enjoy summer's easier, much easier, obviously. Good salads and fish and, you know, steak, good bit of protein, and try and keep the naughty side of things down as much as possible. You've got to have a little bit of enjoyment. We enjoy cheese and bickies and a few desserts along the way. But
for sure.
Yeah, we eat fairly healthily.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think it has to be key with the amount of, you know, work you're putting in. I just want to actually obviously touch on you. Obviously, you and your husband Peter run, you know, a really successful equestrian, I guess, business for how many years now?
Well, Peter's been running it for 37 and I've been involved for about 25 of those years.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Like, obviously, you're doing that as well as competing at the elite level. What are some of the key takeaways you've got out of running a business successfully as well as competing, you know, with the elite level riders across the country?
Well, I suppose one does help the other in a lot of ways, in that as far as being able to advise people in the shop, the gear that we make and sell, I've used it, so I know, and I've had a lot of horses over the years with different mouth and bit issues, so I'm usually able to talk to people and help them with bit issues when I'm selling them either the bridle or bits, double bits. There's a lot of different issues horses can have, so because I've been through a lot of horses and over the years, I'm able to help advise along those lines very easily. And yeah, I've used all that gear, so I know I can give them a good recommendation on what to use and what to try.
Yeah.
So one does benefit the other in that way. And I suppose when we're out, as far as being at competitions, we're there and we're always accessible. We're happy to go and measure a bridle when I'm at a competition or help someone if I need to measure them for top boots or a jacket, because we're out and about. They don't have to just come and see me. If we're there, I'm more than happy to see the customers when we're at a competition as well. So, you know, we try and sort of mix both in, and they do benefit each other quite well that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Our next event, we go off to the Nationals and we'll have the trade van there and we'll have the horses in the stables. So people do know if they see me in the stables and they want something done, they want to meet me in the shop for an appointment, they can just grab me down there and we'll make a time that suits both of us. And, you know, we go in after hours and we'll go in on weekends if we're home. And the same thing with being away at a show, we're happy to do fit in with people.
Yeah.
Because like we've just said, you know, the hours with horses are long.
Yeah.
Everybody's 6 to 9 to 5, so we're happy to work in with that.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely is, you know, it's a really full-time job, horses itself. Obviously, wish a question too from that. A question is obviously, you know, it is a very expensive sport compared to other sports. There's just no doubt about that. Horses can range, as you know, from, you know, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands, in some cases, the millions.
Yeah.
What are some of the, like, for all the rides out there, and obviously, you know, I hear it a lot too with, you know, people having financial challenges. What are some key tips you would advise people in the equestrian industry to, you make some maybe savvy decisions regarding horses and buying horses or things like that?
Yeah, well, with gear, always buy better quality gear, because a good quality bridle, good quality boots will last you much longer. It'll probably do the job a lot better. You'll look more professional in it. You'll ride better in a better pair of boots than a cheaper pair of boots. And your good boots may last you 10, 15 years, depending on how many horses you ride and how well you look after them. Look after your good quality gear. It'll outlast the cheaper gear and it'll cost you less in the long run.
Yeah.
So that's always a better way to go. With horses, look, it's hard. And we've found, I think we've got, you know, 4 horses here at the moment. I've got 3 in work at the moment. My two, I've got 2 very nice older horses. One I bought as a 3-year, one I bought that was a going horse. But I've got my other 2 younger ones. We both bought them both as foals. And I'm really happy with how they're coming up and along. And okay, it takes a little bit longer, but you'd be surprised, from foal to 3-year-old and 4-year-old and suddenly doing stuff with them. It seems to have gone in a blink of an eye, and these guys are now 5 and 6 and they're coming along really well. So if you've got the land and the room to put it, instead of spending money, you know, if you've got a good horse, you know, we've always been advised by people who, you know, instead of insuring a good one, which, okay, if you're going away under a high risk situation, you might do, instead of spending money on insurance, spend money on a foal and put that in the paddock each couple of years, and you've got a horse that's coming up as a backup each time.
Yeah, that's really good.
That certainly, if the horse is younger and like a foal, it's more affordable, and it could be, from a foal, anyone could have a world champion. You just never know.
Yeah, for sure.
Where the older they get and the more they've done, the more expensive they're going to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. And obviously, I really like that with the gear as well, obviously buying stuff that's going to, you know, thinking long term, not thinking sort of short term savings.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely good key advice. Throughout your equestrian career, who are the sort of the, mentors you've had, and why have they been mentors for you?
Well, definitely going into dressage, Mary Hannah's been a great mentor. She helped me find the first horse, and I've trained with her since then. And I've had the benefit of other coaches along the way as far as, you know, doing clinics and lessons. But Mary's very positive, very enthusiastic. She's had a huge career doing in the Olympics and World Cups and competing overseas, and she just pushes you along in a good way and really positive all the time and enthusiastic about your young horses. And she rides with a very light leg, and it's easy, and it's all about the horse travelling and motivating itself along. And I really enjoy the lessons and the help that she's given me. I found her very positive.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, it's really key, obviously, as you just described, having a mentor. And we definitely, from all the previous guests, a lot of them are very similar with a response, for sure, makes help shortcut the process. I'd like to sort of touch on some of the challenges, or what are the biggest challenges you face currently in your equestrian riding, you know, taking it to a next level from where you are now, even?
Look, I suppose there's always the financial challenge and the distances. Our biggest challenge in Australia is the fact that we're so far away from Europe, and that next level of being able to compete on the world stage, really. It's just cost prohibitive, it's time prohibitive, and it's also, you know, it's hard on the horses flying and being away from home, and there's just so many challenges involved with taking a horse to Europe, which is your next level of where you would like to go as far as competing. Even, you know, my aspirations would be, it would be great to just take a horse over to Europe and do a season or two. Just the amount you can learn, you know, the better the competition around you, the better you become, and just there's so much knowledge over there as well. That would be, you know, a fantastic thing to do, but it's a financial situation that's very hard to deal with. You've got to leave your own business and you've got to be away for a long time. It's not like you can just pop over there and take the truck there like you can take it from here to Sydney. Mm. So that's probably the hardest thing for the next level. I think we're lucky here now compared to what we've been, in that all the time we're getting more and more knowledge coming out of Europe as far as trainers coming out and people from here going away, and a bit like Mary coming back with knowledge after training over there for X amount of time and bringing that back with her, and lots of people coming out and giving clinics from Europe. That's a big help. But it is, if it was closer, it would be so much easier for all of us, really, in the dressage game and the show jumping. They all find the same. A lot of people end up going and living over there, and that's not easy, and you're away from where we all want to live, which is here.
Yeah.
So that's probably the hardest thing, I suppose, of the sport.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, I guess, with, like you said, surrounding yourself with the right people, it's a bit like the old saying, you know, your income is the average of the five closest people to, and I guess it applies definitely to your riding as well. I guess the five, you know, closest riders you ride with are going to be a sort of result of what your level you're at. So it is important, and it's a big challenge there for Australian riders, for sure. I'll go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the riding at the moment, everybody, every show we go to, everybody is pushing one another along to that next level. Everyone is really pushing hard to improve. But yes, that's the hardest thing, is the distance for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sort of coming towards the end of the interview right now, and thank you again very much for coming on. Over your time, what is the best couple of pieces of advice you've ever been given?
Well, I would say that the best advice would be that, and it actually came from Mary. She was saying, you know, not everybody is born with that supernatural talent to be the next gold medalist. But if you work hard at it and you put your time and effort into it and you really set yourself good goals, it's amazing what you can achieve, you know. So work at it. look at your mindset of it, work on everything, our mind, how we react to things, staying cool and calm all the time, work hard on our own physical fitness and strength and balance, and work hard with the horses and really use your time well and enjoy it too. You know, I think people don't get too tense about everything. You've got to try and remember to breathe, relax and enjoy what you're doing, you know, enjoy the journey and enjoy the moment. And you've got to enjoy riding every single day that you ride, not just the competition. You know, it's got to be an enjoyable journey along the way. But yes, work hard at it. Not everybody is the next gold medalist, but it's amazing what we can achieve with hard work.
Yeah, for sure. And what does the near future, you know, the next few years hold for you, Caroline? What are the big things coming up for you and you're aiming for?
Oh, look, I think it's just more of the same, really. Just keep working hard. I would like to just keep achieving, staying in that top group in the dressage world that we're in and improving my scores all the time and, you know, looking to just try and keep pushing ourselves towards those goals of what they're achieving in Europe and working towards making our horses, you know, as fit and as good as possible, really.
Yeah, for sure. Fantastic. Well, I really want to acknowledge you for coming on the show, Caroline. I really appreciate you giving up your time. I'm sure everyone out there got so much out of your advice and sort of wisdom that you've just brought to us on this show today. And I really look forward to watching you in the coming months and years achieve some more great things and continue your equestrian career.
Thank you very much. It's been enjoyable. It's been great to have a chat.
Fantastic.
And I hope everyone's got something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And we'll have to catch up again soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jane.
Cheers. So there you have it, folks, episode 32 with Caroline Wagner. She's an absolute star, and I absolutely love that, and I hope you guys really got a lot out of that, took some notes, and most importantly, you know, really action a couple of items from that and really, you know, take those mental notes, know what's going to need for you to happen, for you to, you know, take it to the next level, and what from that is important. So make sure, guys, you jump on it and really put that into swing right now and make it happening for you, because this is why you're listening. This is what it's all about. It's not only knowing the knowledge, or as the old saying goes, power or knowledge is not power, it's execution is power when you actually execute on the knowledge you have. So make sure you do that with this and really put it into practice, because that's where you'll see the results. And if you're doing that day in, day out, just normal habit for you, you know, make it one of those things that you just do day in, day out, then before you know it, you'll be getting those results, reaping them from a really positive habit and strategy. So hope you enjoyed that one, guys, and really would love your feedback on this. You know, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram and let me know what you think. Love to hear from you. I'll do my best to get back to you. And also really appreciate if you could give us a review on iTunes. Really helps us out with you know, obviously rankings and that, and really getting some more great guests on the show. So having a quick review on iTunes for this podcast is a real major help to us here at the JockX podcast. So I want to thank you. I'm excited for you. I'm excited about your coming months and weeks and years ahead, and really some major success for you, and always here to help. So enjoy your week. Massive guest coming on again next week. Really excited. Get after it, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.